good to have you on this morning. Congressman Mike Boss, there's so much to talk about this morning. One is there had been quite a lot of pressure on you about where's the town hall. We, you know, and this mm-hmm. this was a thing during the break that people went home and were yelled at by their constituents. It was clearly organized. I've seen the book that was published to tell you what to do when you go there.
Right.
There were some that were paid. There were others that were not. You've seen it at your office. Mike, your takeaway now that you've had a chance to yes, you have in Belleville, including too.
Yep.
I saw the footage there. Mike, now that you've had some time to process that episode of the latest political standoff, what's your takeaway?
Well, let me tell you that it has always been my, you know, and everyone that knows me, whether a state rep or in this job, I keep a very, very open line of communication with the people I serve. Matter of fact, on that break week, we actually had a meeting with farm bureaus. We had farm advisory committees. We met with actually four different groups from administrators of hospitals specifically to talk about the health care bills that we were looking at and what their concerns were. I actually met with four of them that wanted to protest outside the office, met with them, talked with them. Very calmly in my Belleville office, was able to listen to their concerns, had over 30 meetings with individuals besides that, and then we also have been having regular teletown hall meetings. We're scheduled for one tonight, I think, with the snow delay and everything like that. I don't know whether we are maybe having votes right at the time we're supposed to be able to do that one tonight, but we'll continue to keep the communications open. You know, I met with the editorial board of the Southern Illinoisan, explained the situation, and also did with the Belleville News Democrat, each newspaper that was out there, many radio stations, and television stations as well.
Mike, this because I wanted to talk to you about this tele-hall meeting. is that right? We'll call it tele-hall meeting?
Tele-town hall.
Mm-hmm. Was scheduled, I believe, for 6:15? Tonight?
Right. And we're going to try to do that. I was just looking. Understand, we were delayed. I told you this already. I'm in the airport in St. Louis trying to get out now. There were no flights yesterday, so everything's kind of delayed. And I know that they're going to be having votes right about the same time that we're going to be scheduled. We've got the teletown hall scheduled. So I've got to pick up my staff and figure out what we're doing. But we will definitely have one as soon as we possibly can, if that one's delayed.
Mike, I really feel uncomfortable about this next little bit here. I got to tell you, this is the thing I don't understand, and I really hate saying that. You know me long enough. No, I expect more of myself. But here's the thing: I don't think I'm the only one. There are so many pieces moving on the board when it comes to health care. But the problem is, they're saying maybe this time we'll lose this many people, all this other stuff. But the thing is, we're choking to death on these health care bills every month. While people, you know, maybe we'll have it fixed by 2020.
We have to get something done. We have to get something done. And let me explain to you several things that are going on, so your listeners will know. Whenever the Bureau of the Budget scored the bill that is moving right now through the House, they said this many people would lose, 14 million?
Anywhere between 14 and 24, depending on the year.
Would lose coverage. Well, what they don't have is they don't have the secondary bill. There's another bill, and then what Tom Price does, which is basically, yes, they will lose Obamacare. We're shutting it down, but we will do that in an orderly fashion so that a person could then shift over. They just rated it based on the existing bill, because that's all they can do, by the way. I don't have a problem with them, except for the fact I wish, you know, people understood that this is not the only process, because it's such a big process. There's three buckets. There's this bill that is what you can do in reconciliation, what you can actually get through the Senate, and you move it that way, and we get that. That's the first thing. The second thing is Tom Price himself, under the Affordable Care Act, over 15,000 pages, 1,500 pages, with 20 of those pages, all but 20 of those pages, have the Secretary Schell or the Secretary May. So Tom Price will be able to go in, adjust many other things that we not be able to do in this bill, and then the things that we can't do in reconciliation, which line up with the budget. That's what has to happen with reconciliation. Then we can move forward with the next bill. I believe if we move bucket number one and bucket number two, we're going to have a better product than what we have today. If we move bucket number three, which will be the secondary bill that then will take 60 votes in the Senate to originally have the vote on it, if we move that, then it will be a great, and that's why I'm thinking that that once we get to that point, senators of both parties will come on board.
Mike, here's one of the things I struggle back, trying to pretend I'm somebody else and in control of certain items and strategy. Look, the Affordable Care Act is failing.
There's no question
about that, but there are a great many people who want to ignore that fact based on this is what I get and I want it. And I get that too because they're facing incredible health care bills. But, you know, when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, which, by the way, the Republican plan, the proper name is the American Health Care Act. I've been hearing Ryan Care and Trump Care, this is the true name of it. Because there is so much. And, Mike, I cannot help but think that when the original ACA, Obamacare, was written, that it was written to insinuate itself into the healthcare system like Jenga blocks. And that if you pulled some of those Jenga blocks out, you destroyed the healthcare system. It looks like this was almost some kind of explosive device set to trigger inside the healthcare system if you ever tried to pull it out. Is that what we're experiencing right now? The authors of that bill wrote that this way.
One is in the original plan, and that's what they believe that everyone would go ahead and come on the healthcare system. Many of them went ahead and just took the penalties, which if you do that, that plan didn't work. They kind of expected that, though. We tried to explain that to them. Matter of fact, there is a video of whenever they were moving forward with it, and the concerns that were being expressed were by two people that were sitting in the room, and this was about 8 years ago when they were first drafting it. There were two people in the room sitting at the table, and they were different positions at the time, but one person was the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. His name was Paul Ryan, and he was explaining it to him, and the other was a guy by the name of a congressman by the name of Tom Price, explaining to them what was going to happen and what they were concerned with. One was people not taking just taking the penalties. Two, by the fact that because the restrictions are in place and the penalties in place, you would see many companies getting out of providing health care altogether.
That's what we have,
and that's why we have the collapse.
Yeah, and they are too. They're all running for the.
The thing that you want to remember about the Illinois 12th in particular, if you're in Madison, St. Clair, or Monroe counties in my district, you have one health care provider if you're on the ACA. And that one health care provider raised their rate 70% just in the last 2 months.
Well, you know,
it's collapsing.
You know, you could see, look at a letter here that was written to another congressman, says, I'm paying $990 for the Browns plan that covers my entire family. He went up from $500 to $990. His deductible went up from $6,300 to $12,600 for his entire family.
Right.
And what's interesting, in meeting with a number of other politicians, people who work for them, that they're saying, where are these people who want the Affordable Care Act done away with? That what we're hearing now is the ones who want it. But what happened to all the people who are taking these huge hits? I'm one of them. I'm one of these people that took these huge hits.
The list goes on and on. Because what you've got is most people that are on it, unless you are on the lower end of the spectrum and then you're being offset by the sliding scale, which is Medicaid, what ends up happening is families that were having a health care that was running them $500 and $600 a month with a co-pays of $20, $30 and $50 depending on whether it went to the doctor, emergency room, or urgent care now are spending $1,500 to $2,000 a month with a $5,000 deductible. That's not health care. That's catastrophic insurance, maybe. That's catastrophic insurance.
Yeah.
Exactly what that is.
And now we don't get to go to the doctor because we can't afford to go to the doctor because we're paying too much.
We're talking in my office, and we keep constant communication with the constituents. For those that say, well, we want the Affordable Health Care Act to stay in place. Well, I would, you could do that if it wasn't collapsing. But what they're not admitting to the fact that it's collapsing.
Right.
And so I'm going to tell you something that's really tough is we really have the big decision that's got to be made is to try to analyze and how to put together, you know, because you've had multiple states that did the expansion of Medicaid.
Illinois.
And other states that did not. And so you've got an argument there. How do you try to keep these states whole and yet not penalize the ones that chose not to? You know, these are some tough decisions that have to be made through Congress, and we're working on them every day.
All right, now I want to get this clear. This, according to my sources, in American Health Care Act, The bill prohibits health insurers from denying coverage or charging higher premiums based upon a pre-existing condition, putting an annual or lifetime cap on medical care and charging women more than men. The bill also continues to allow 26-year-olds to stay on their parents' insurance, just as the majority of states allowed prior to ACA.
Correct.
Those are major areas of concern to some people.
But remember this, that is the bills passed in its entirety. And whenever someone is talking about the bill that's moving through the House now, it can only deal with the budget side of this. So they are the things that repeal the taxes, repeal the penalties, all of those things. And the other will be required by Tom Price to keep and put in place under the direction of the administration. But that, yes, that those things are the things that are in the overall plan, which is the three. And I refer to it as the three buckets that must move.
Right. Mike, there are so many other things. It literally leaves somebody like me going, gosh, well, now what do we talk about? I mean, do we talk about tax returns? Well, talk about the term wiretap surveillance? Do we talk about what's going on in Mosul? Do we talk about yesterday Marine General Robert Neller, who's vowing to hold service members accountable for this? I mean, there is a lot of UN saying, hey, Siri Command.
I'm going to tell you something Let me tell you something that's going to happen on that. I want to talk about that, you know, being a Marine. You know, the military has to be held to a very, very high standard. And what has happened is totally wrong. And Neller will get to this. The Commandant will get to the people involved with this. And there will be charges, even to the point that there's talk about if some of these people are retired military, they can actually have their retirement deducted from and penalized that way. There's a whole lot of things we're looking into. You got to remember, even whenever I was in the Marine Corps, there was a Playboy magazine that came out. There were women in the military, and I was actually in Marine Corps Base 29 Palms when the magazine came out, and the person, the woman who was in that magazine from the Marine Corps was processed that day for the good of the Marine Corps and discharged.
Yeah.
How small, not saying that was small for what the Marine Corps says, but what is going on now is heinous and terrible and disrespectful, and it must be stopped.
It may be the tail hook for the Marines.
Yeah, it may be.
Yeah.
And it's going to get stopped.
What about this desire that no matter what President Trump does, he's wrong, doesn't like children, kick small dogs? This whole Trump, you know, we're going to get him out of office. I mean, that's a mentality, and we see it out there right now. And it is manifesting in Washington, and it's manifesting in stop. It's manifesting in obstructive behavior. There's a fight
it's a
on everything.
Because people are not letting us move forward with a lot, even though we still are moving forward with a tremendous amount of things. It's like a sidebar to everything we do. And it's unfortunate because, understand, by this time, the Senate should have already approved every one of the cabinet members and had them in place.
Yeah.
And they haven't.
What about the duplicity of it? I mean, oh, look what he's doing. He's letting these attorneys go. Bill Clinton let 92 or 93 go.
Oh, the thing is, that's a common practice. When you come in, they serve at the pleasure of the president. Therefore, since they serve at the pleasure of the president, they must, they can be, and most of them always have been, relieved, and then either they can put a letter. Matter of fact, most of them put a letter of resignation in, and then if the president wants them to stay, then he responds that he would prefer that they stay. That is a common practice.
You know, there was one other item that I did see that kind of really threw me.
Still with me?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Mike. Can you hear me now, Mike? There we go. Sorry, I had a button to go off. Hey, there was one other thing that just kind of caught my attention before I let you go. And that is this correspondence that was released about the Human Rights Commission and Rex Tillerson supposedly sending letters to 9 nonprofit organizations this week claiming the U.S. will leave the 47-member organization, the Human Rights Commission, Council of the U.N. And, you know, and people, oh, look at this, we're leaving the Human Rights. Human Rights Commission, last time I remember, was chaired by Iran.
Right. That would be a problem.
And see, and you go, well, you know, why is Iran the chair? I mean, not exactly.
they don't exactly have a real good record on human rights.
No, right? Hey, you know, let's chop some gay people's heads off. I mean, right? Literally, I'm not. And then you go, well, you know, we can't pull out
of
there.
They don't exactly fall in a high quality of treating of women.
And every time the chair that's up for that committee is always like some country that. Well, you know what? We don't really kill them because we don't like touching them. So we'll take a bulldozer and push a wall on top of them, and let's take that country and make them in charge of human rights.
Right. So as we look at a lot of this stuff that goes on in the world, you know, we need to analyze where we're at and say, okay, are these groups and organizations working in the direction that they're supposed to be? Are they moving by title only? And that's basically what you've got with the Human Rights Commission.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you and I are going to need talking last week. There's so many things moving, but this Affordable Care Act. The one thing, hey, Mike, and I didn't tell you this, for as an employer of a lot of young people coming out of school, anything that would allow us to let part-time workers work over 29 or 30 hours a week so that they can make morning without having to buy their insurance, that needs to go away because I can give a lot of young people a better chance making more money, train them better. If I don't have to pay for their insurance while I'm educating them.
That is one of the part of the bill that is moving through the House because, see, that is a penalty or a tax, so it does fall underneath what we can do through the reconciliation.
Good. Good to hear it, too. Congressman Mike Boss. Mike, thanks for your time, pal. Really
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Hey, if you could let me know about the teleconference for the town hall tonight.
I can do that.
Share that on the News Radio WJPF Facebook page along with a link. There's so many people that have been wanting to talk, and this idea that you're hiding away, I want to do everything to help facilitate your desire to talk to your constituents. So
Thank you so much.
If you let George...
You know, I had one person tell me that I'm not hiding away. She saw me in Kroger's.
Right. Yeah. Well, granted, it was the Kroger in Colorado, but I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I know which Kroger because I go to the same one. So, you know, if you could let us know, we'll share that with people because I know you want to talk to them and hear what they have to say out there.
I want to be in constant contact with them.